I have like a big fear of like these podcasts. So whenever I first start, yeah, listen.
A big fear?
Yeah, I have like this big fear of like recording like an hour long podcast and then like go into my camera and it's like
gone.
Dead. Or like, yeah, so yesterday I was doing like an unboxing.
That just like made me a little nauseous.
I know. I did like an unboxing on my shoes and I talked for like 5 minutes and like half the audio was like caught out.
No.
Out. Yeah.
I'm gonna sit here so the plants.
So then I told Rachel, I was like, I gotta figure out why it cut out. Because I don't want to be like talking to Sarah for like an hour and then like 10
all the
minutes
gold
in,
I'm saying,
it's like,
be gone.
Right, it's gone.
Do you want to just keep checking it?
We can.
Or we can also set up my phone and double record. Well, the audio will be there, yeah.
Yeah. So I've done like 45 minutes and not had an issue with it, so.
Okay.
It's good. I think that it's already recording.
Oh, cool.
And like, I kind of like chop the podcast up and stuff. So we gotta like use the restroom or whatever. It's
okay.
Not like,
sweet.
I'm not just gonna go raw video.
Okay, good. I'm just gonna keep drinking water and coffee then.
Yes,
it's okay.
That's perfect.
Okay.
So your story is like interesting with the business in general. One thing that I love is that the first time I came here, you weren't here. We went into the bathroom and you had like toiletries for people.
Yeah.
That's something that we do at the gym.
Oh,
and
cool.
We think it's like, we kind of think it's like necessary. And I told Rachel, I think it's like one of those things that like was special. And now it's like, it should be an expectation that
yeah.
like, you're treating people that way. That's why I text you and I was like, you have an idea. Like, I want to talk to you about
oh,
your idea.
Cool. That's hilarious that, like, the tampons
it's
is what
like
made
yeah, the little things, like the little detail.
Yeah.
So.
That's funny.
I sent you that post because me and Rachel and I were talking about it, and it's interesting because that was September 2019 before you ever, I guess, had the idea of the Airstream.
Correct.
So you were just loved coffee, and you had like this idea of like
kind
a
of.
Coffee shop in was it Germany
yeah,
at the time?
Yeah, we were moving to Germany.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So that's September, and then you started Blues Airstream in March.
Yeah.
So that was 6 months later.
It happened extremely fast.
Yeah. So.
It was crazy.
What sparked the idea of that to even do like an Airstream coffee? Did you like?
Yeah.
Ever think about doing brick and mortar?
Yes.
Or were you just...
So brick and mortar has always been the goal.
Okay.
Always. So So I worked at this coffee shop in grad school and I did not have a great experience. I loved my job as an assistant manager. I got to, like, she had all these great ideas, but she didn't have the time to do them because she was running errands and paying bills and doing payroll and hiring and firing people. She didn't have time to do all the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was her assistant, so I got to do all that stuff. She would come to me and be like, so here's what I want to do. Can you just go do it? Like, I don't care about the details.
Like full creative control.
Just freaking do it. And I did it. And so I loved that. Like, I loved making her life easier because she was an amazing boss. I loved making stuff happen and, like, seeing this vision that someone else had and then going to do it and, like, figuring out the details and problem-solving everything. I loved it. She left for maternity leave, and it was not a great situation with those owners. And so
was it like a group of owners?
No, it was a couple.
So it was a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Did the other person in the couple like step in whenever she stepped out?
No, I was then her.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
so I had like agreed to 6 weeks. So 6 weeks of being this person. So interim management. And I was like, cool, that sounds great. I can do that for 6 weeks, no problem. When she decided not to come back, they offered me that position full time.
Yeah.
And I said no, and I used the excuse I was graduating from grad school. So I used the excuse that I was gonna go work in my field, which was true. I went and did hospice chaplaincy
yeah.
for a year. And then, so I told her, I was like, yeah, so I'm just gonna go work in my field. And it was like warm fuzzies, like, oh yeah, go do that. I'm so proud of you, blah, blah. I came back to her the next day and I was like, hey, so I lied. That's not why I'm leaving. Like, I'm actually leaving because I don't agree with how you all did things with her maternity leave. And I could be pregnant in a year and I don't want the same thing to happen to me, so I'm leaving.
Did you feel bad? Like, whenever you, is that why you went back in the next day? You were like,
and told her?
I need to just tell you the truth.
I was so sick to my stomach that night. So I wrote in that post, like, in parentheses, Enneagram 9. I'm a one-wing 9, so I'm a moral perfectionist. So I have to not just, like, be the best. I have to be truly good. And if I'm not truly good,
I can't even sleep at night.
Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad. And, like, I wish I could just be like, oh, I love myself. Who I am is good. I've never been like that.
Yeah.
So it was like, it kept me up at night. I was sick to my stomach. That I felt like I didn't defend my old boss and, like, didn't stand up for her because the way that she left, and it just was not a good situation. And I didn't agree ethically with how it was handled, but I didn't say anything at the time. So that's why I had to go back. And, like, as soon as I clocked in that next morning, I was like, hey, I got to talk to you. I lied to you. And I don't agree with how you let her go and or why she decided to leave. I don't agree with that entire situation. I don't want the same thing to happen to me. I'm morally, ethically, and socially against all of those things. And so that's why I'm quitting. Right. And I just, like, I said it literally that fast. I was like, because I was like, I have to get this off my shoulders. And I was really hoping that they would say, you know, you're right. We don't agree with that either. We'll handle it better. No, they just dug in and they were like, they're like, we were trying to be good Christian people and we wanted what was best for her. And so we
doubled down on their.
Exactly. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, then I made the right decision. I'm going to leave. So I did, went and did hospice chaplaincy. So coffee was off the table. I was like, well, that was a cool, like, grad school gig, but, like, moving on. So I went and it was, like, corporate hospice chaplaincy.
So you're, is that, like, when people die, you're there?
Yeah, I was helping people die and helping their families when their loved ones die.
Is that something that you request or is that, like?
I did. So you mean hospice?
No, like the chaplain, like, is it like family request that?
Yes, so chaplaincy gets kind of an interesting viewpoint. A lot of people think it's just like being a pastor, but it's, if your chaplains ever, if they ever come in and they're like, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, fire them, because that's not their job. Their job is spiritual and emotional well-being. So if that means that you're agnostic, cool, I'm going to be agnostic with you and we're going to talk about that. If that means that you're atheist, awesome, what brings you joy and how can we bring that into your death? So it was really cool. It was a really cool job.
Yeah.
But it was very corporate.
It's like bringing peace.
Exactly. Yeah, the whole idea is like taking a chaotic situation and coming in as this like peaceful presence and truly helping people die well.
Yeah.
So it was really challenging. It was really fun. Like, I love the patient care side of it. But I just really missed coffee. Like, I just really missed doing stuff with my hands and creating things. And I was traveling all over Greene County. Like, I was in the county and, like, I loved that part.
Is that Greenville area?
Mm-hmm, okay. Yeah, it was Greenville, Irwin, friggin' Mosheim. It was the sticks of East Tennessee. Like, yes. Like,
are there good coffee shops around there?
Zero. Well, there's one. Okay, there's one. It's called the Creamy Cup in Greenville.
Okay.
It's a stand. So you drive up to the stand. And I was like, man, that's a really cool idea. So, but I wasn't thinking, like, that's what I want to go do.
Right.
I wanted a brick and mortar. I wanted a space where you could bring the idea of, like, bringing peace to every single day. And I just missed it, honestly. And I saw what happened to those nurses who were in that career for, like, more than 5 years. I did not want to be those people.
Right.
It is not a career that you should be in more than 2 or 3 years at a time.
Because mentally, it's a...
It is so hard. I mean, everyone... Your job is to get close to people who die.
Right.
And you do.
That's crazy.
It sucks. And, like, there's no way. It is completely unrealistic to train people to not get attached to people. Like, that is so horrible for your mental health. It is not human.
Yeah.
And it... Like, when I left, here's an example. When I left, I had to turn in my computer that had all of my contacts for all of those families that I had helped their loved ones die, who I was still checking in with every 2 weeks. I had to turn that computer in. I don't have their numbers. I snuck one patient's wife's number into my phone, and she called me, and, like, we were still in touch for, like, 6 months. That's it.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's crazy that
they
expect
that. Completely detached.
And I was just like, I could do it. I totally could do it. Like, I have the personality that can compartmentalize and do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't like who that will turn me into in a decade.
Yeah, I mean, you start becoming numb to, like, because even, like, Rachel, when she quit teaching, like, she still thinks about the kids that she had.
I mean, they're her kids. Like,
yeah. Like, what are they doing now? How are they doing?
And you can choose to detach and not care about them. But again, like, what are you trading? Like, you're actually trading your humanity for that. And I was just not interested in that career.
Yeah. I could never.
Right.
Medical in general is just tough.
It's wild. And it really does. Yeah, I don't think any of those careers are good long-term strategies for mental health.
Yeah.
So, I just missed coffee, and I looked for management jobs first.
Was it the art of coffee, or, like, just everything, or was it something specific that, like...
It's everything. So, we say all the time with baristas, so, like, the barista wearing the crazy hat right now, she's pre-med. Like, she's gonna go be a doctor.
Okay.
But we talk about all the time, like, coffee gets in you. Like, it gets in your soul, and, like, the barista job, same with bartending. Mm-hmm. Like, once you get in that career and you start getting good at it and you start knowing your customers and you get to come in and create stuff for, like, 8 hours a day, even cleaning, like, you get to come do stuff and see things happen and make things happen, it gets in you. And, like, you almost get, like, how would I ever do anything else?
Yeah.
And I feel like so many people ask that question and then they're like, oh, well, I guess I just have to. I guess I just have to go be a social worker. Right. I guess I just have to go be a chaplain. I guess I just have to go teach. And instead I was like, no, screw that. Like, how will I ever do anything else? I don't have to do anything else. Right. I can go see if this works. And if I can break even and, like, pay my bills, I'm going to do it. Like,
good. Oh, yeah.
Why do anything else?
100%.
So I just started thinking that way, but we had zero. I mean, we still have zero money, but, like, zero money. Jonathan, you know, he's an OT. So
he was in school at that time, right? Or he was getting ready to graduate?
He had already graduated.
Yeah.
So there was a year and a half gap where I was still in grad school and he wasn't. And that freaking sucked because my program was 90.
There's Jonathan right there. You had one more year after, or he had?
I had a year and a half. So he graduated in December of some year. I don't know. It's 2017. And then I didn't graduate until spring of 2019.
Okay.
So it was a year and a half, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I graduated, did a hospice thing for a year, and then was like, I don't want to do this. And that fall, which is where that post came from, mm-hmm. I was like, so I had this dream of going to Germany and opening it. So it's a long story.
Okay.
I won't give you all the details. Okay. I was very evangelical. I was very much like, I need to go to this place that is unchurched because they really are, they're like post-Christianity, and be Jesus without, like, telling them about Jesus. So I was just going to go into a coffee shop, like, make a coffee shop and just, like, be that person who, and beer too. I wanted to get into beer really bad. In Germany, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And now I'm very much not evangelical.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, well, I'm still doing that. Like, I still love Jesus. And I think Jesus is a really cool dude. And I think that there are some interesting things about Jesus that I could talk about a lot. But I'm freaking doing that here. Why do I need to go to Germany? And it's not I'm going to be this good person and be like Jesus so that other people look at Jesus.
And try to follow them.
It's okay. If they don't want to look at Jesus, I don't care.
Right.
Like,
you do
just be a good person. Like,
yeah. Just in general.
You don't need, I mean, God, my in-laws are going to kill me
for
saying this. You don't need Jesus to do that.
Right.
Like, that's
why
I do that.
There's a lot of great people that don't believe.
Exactly. And, like, that's why I do that, but that doesn't have to be why my employees do that. It doesn't have to be why my customers do that. Like, and if they ask, I don't really care to tell them. Like, I don't feel that, like...
Like,
anxiety.
You have to do it.
Yeah, or you have to, like, tell them about this thing. Like, I hate that. It's lots of manipulation involved there.
Yeah.
So I was going to go to Germany and do that. Then we realized, I spoke to a couple different organizations, and they were like, hey, we think this is awesome, but pay your student loans first, which I will, I could cry just thinking about that advice.
Oh,
like, pay this off first because you're going to take out more loans to go do this. Like, don't do that. Just pay off your loans, because we were in triple digits with student loans with his school.
Yeah.
And that's not even talking about my school. Like,
and it's
my
crazy
school
that that's
too.
Typical,
oh,
especially
it's wild.
In the medical
it's
industry.
It's wild, So they were like, cut that in half and then come talk to us. So we've done that. We'll be done paying them off in 2 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And we're not going to go talk to them after that because we're doing this other cool thing.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any money. We got a reality check of like, hey, pay your student loans. So then we started talking to some of our best friends, the Halls, Adam Hall and
Sounds
Tasha Hall. They're at Mountaintop, but
okay.
They're our best friends. Like, Tosh is literally my soulmate, like, would kill or die for her, obsessed with her. Adam, her husband, is like, he works for Eastman, but he has a very much like entrepreneurial mind, and he's a 7 on the Enneagram, so he's always like, oh, you should do this, you should do this,
ideas,
you should do this,
blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's a dreamer, has great ideas, and he sent me this Airstream that was in California, and he was like, because we were joking about like, we don't have any money, we should just open in like a shipping cart, like of one of those boxes, and he's like, you call it the brew box.
Crazy of an idea
today. It's not
today,
that crazy anymore. After
it.
2020, it's not crazy at all. And so I talked to Jonathan. I was like, what if I just started, because I got really good at making cold brew. I was like obsessed with making what I thought was the best cold brew I've ever had. And I was like, what if I just start selling it in my gym? And I still have texts from him that I've saved.
I remember y'all doing
that. And he's
that.
Like, if you can break even, why not? Like, if that gives you life, then maybe you can do the chaplaincy thing, make money, keep your insurance,
yeah.
And then sell this for fun. Yeah. So I started doing that, and I started having people hand me like $10 bills and like $20 bills and be like, I need this to succeed. I need you to keep doing this. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm actually kind of okay at this. Like,
yeah.
Maybe I should keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so I started making money off it instead of just breaking even, plus having fun. But I couldn't do the chaplaincy thing and work out and serve coffee. Like, that was
a lot.
It was too much. So Jonathan was like, I mean, Adam found this Airstream thing. So this was October of 2019. This is a month after I posted that. I was still going
crazy.
To Germany. I was like, I'm going to do this thing, this like small thing here, experiment with it, see if I can do it, and then go to Germany and do it. And so we were like, we don't have money for a brick and mortar, but Adam found this Airstream, and like, I think we could get a loan for that. Like, it's not that much. It was already outfitted as a cafe. It had
okay.
a $20,000 espresso machine in it, which was
wow.
wild to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Is that
and
the one that you use?
Yeah, we have it here now. It's no longer
crazy.
Worth 20 grand, but but it's great. I love her. So we just did it. So December of that year, and it was so stressful. I swear to you. So these people that sold us the Airstream, her husband was in the Navy, and I swear he had some insider knowledge about COVID, because they were like, well, we're trying to get rid of it, and I was like, oh, what
they're
is the rush? I was like, we got to get a loan first, we're still talking to banks, blah, 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 and they're like, well, we need $5,000 now, blah, 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 and I was like, I literally don't have it, so you're just going to have to wait. Like, if you want us to have it, you have to wait.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, it's like they only had to wait 8 weeks, but to them, it was like, it seemed like this, we got to hurry,
Yeah.
So we purchased it in December of 2019. It got here the week of my birthday, January 13th
okay.
of 2020. We had zero clue. We had never heard of COVID, ever. We didn't understand. I remember hearing about it first in February, and it was an over-there problem.
Yes.
And then it was a New York City problem, and I was like, it's not going to get to East Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's not even on my radar. I stopped reading the news because I was trying to open this Airstream.
Yeah.
We opened March 16th, 2020. The stay-at-home order was in effect March 20th, 2020.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. And I still don't remember panicking about it. I still remember just being like, that's crazy. Like, well,
yeah.
We're still in our soft launch, so it's fine. Like, we're not really trying to make money yet. It's not a big deal. I had one employee who was the girl who just hugged me. She left. She was an employee. That was it. So I was like, we're probably still fine. And then the health department called me, and I was like, why is Kelly calling me? That's weird. She was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, all the coffee shops around you are shutting down, but, like, you guys keep doing what you're doing. You're all, your takeaway, your walk-up, your outdoors.
Wow.
You don't need to change anything that you're doing. We are recommending masking at this time, and I was like, I'm not masking. That's
yeah.
stupid. What are they talking about?
Right.
Which was very dumb. I should have definitely
even
should have.
Even Starbucks closed.
We had two Starbucks on either side of us, and they both closed down, and people started coming to us, which
yeah.
was awesome. We got a ton of new customers because of that. But it's wild that we had no idea that it It was just all of a sudden here, and I was like, wait, what? I don't even know what a pandemic means.
It
like,
was. I remember was somebody crazy. Coming in the gym and being like, I don't know, this that COVID thing, that it was like in February, he was like, I don't know. He was like, I think it's getting crazy. And, you know, he's kind of like a conspiracy person. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then I remember somebody telling me, and I was kind of like you, like I didn't have a reaction. Someone told me like, hey, you have to close. They showed me a phone and I was like, okay, thank you. And then I think they expected like a different reaction from me, but it's just like, okay, like, let's see how we proceed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, for you, it's interesting because it's like, it seemed like a crazy idea and COVID hit, and then all of a sudden you're a genius.
Mm-hmm. And we got really lucky. Like, I hate to say it that way. There's nothing good about COVID.
Right.
Period. But we, it literally did happen that way. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't.
Well, there are a lot of businesses that emerged from this, and
because
it's almost like a
that.
Human thing of like
yeah.
just finding a way to thrive
right.
when
and I
down.
Think that was a really beautiful part is that businesses who had a brick and mortar had to pivot. Like they had to be like, they either had to or they died.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to see so many businesses be like, okay, how do we still make money? How do we mm-hmm. get this food or this product into their hands
yes.
without putting them at risk and without putting our employees at risk? And
yes.
like, I think Dos Gatos did an amazing job of that. And people were all pissed off that they had their open window and they didn't serve people without masks. I think that's freaking awesome. Because they still survived. They did it. They did what they had to do. They got creative with their marketing. We didn't have to do that because truly it just happened that way.
Yeah.
It happened to us. And we were just like, oh, well, we're already... Sorry, I heard CC. I'm like, is she doing... She choked really bad last night, so I grabbed out and like whip her out of there. I was like... And then she started crying because I was hitting her. I was like, listen. You're alive.
It's for the good.
Yeah. But anyway, so it really did just, it was crazy how it just happened. And I don't know what to attribute that to because then everyone was like, oh yeah, did you go mobile because of COVID? And it's like, no, we went mobile because we were broke.
That was the
and,
idea. Yeah.
yeah. And then we just got really lucky that,
and
you know,
it was cool
it
too because at the time when you were, everything was like closed. So I remember driving over and getting coffee with Rachel because y'all were on North Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that being like, we didn't really see anyone unless, you know, we had to go to, like, a store or something.
Right.
But it was, like, that was a cool social because we would, like, talk to you for a little bit or see Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, that was, like, people probably came to
you
all. I mean, I'm sure people stood in the parking lot for 30 minutes to an hour.
Yeah, we did. So we had, I have a mentor who I've been meeting with for, like, 8 years now. And she meets with, like, that's what, she's a pastor in the area, but she meets with people all the time. I was like, she might even be here now. She set up, what are those chairs called?
Like a lawn chair?
Yes, thank you. Lawn chairs. Uh-huh. With her friends in the parking lot behind the Airstream. There was like a tree that they could sit under. And all that summer and all that fall and all the next summer, that's what they did. So she would meet dozens of people a week and just they would sit out. And she still
that's
talks
cool.
about that. She's like, I know you have a storefront and I love meeting there. It's better than the Airstream, but I still miss those days. Like there was some just nostalgia about like that's how you had to meet and you chose to meet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like that says a lot to who you're meeting with. Like
yes.
you're risking your health, but you're also having to go out of your way to bring a chair, put it in your car. She would bring chairs for other people, sit distance. They still wore masks. Like it was
a lot
of effort.
Did y'all do movies there too?
We did a movie night. We did live music. Like we really tried to help people stay sane because, like, we missed that. Like, the girl who just hugged me and left who used to work for me, she also lived with us, and she had just moved to the area. And
I remember
it was hard for her. Like,
yeah.
she will still, like, she literally left Johnson City and was like, Johnson City did me dirty. Like, I can't live in the city anymore
yeah.
because it held so many, like, traumatic, depressing memories for her because she moved for the business. So she moved right when COVID hit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so we were like, people, I really believe in vaccines and social distancing and all of that, but I also saw the need for like, people are going crazy. Like people are going
people need
to,
people.
Yes, people need people. And so how do we do that safely? And so I was like, all right, well, I have a friend who does music. So he did, for our 1 year anniversary, he did a concert for us and I love going to the movies with people, and I can't go to the movies, so we did a movie night, and we sold popcorn. Like,
that's cool.
We just, yeah, it was fun.
When did you start getting, like requests for people to buy, like, bulk coffee? Because I feel like you started doing, like, a thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we did that.
Because was that after, like, school started going back, or, like, you were sending them to medical centers.
Yes, we did that. I wish we had had time to do that this year and last year too, but it's, I'm trying to have grace with myself, because, like, bro, you had a baby and you opened a storefront the same year. Like, you can't do all the good ideas. But yeah, we started doing care packages, and it's actually still an option on DoorDash. So,
but that was huge then.
Yeah,
right?
It was huge. I mean, it helped us stay alive, because we, people were starting to get sick.
What was your biggest order? Can you remember one that you were like, oh, I don't, like, this is going to be a lot?
Probably, it's kind of embarrassing, but probably my mom. She would buy these care packages, like, once or twice a week. And she, because she works for NHC, so she's in home health. So she, like, markets to, like, the VA and Princeton. You know, she's got, like, facilities that she goes to. And I remember one time she was like, hey, so is there any way I could get, like, 30 pastries and, like, 4 boxes of coffee? And I'm like, we're in a trailer. Like, 30 pastries is, like, my par for
it's
the
like
week.
Everything.
It's like, but I was like, give me 4 hours and, like, yes, I will do it. And I was like, I'll deliver it. Like, I'll do anything for that, like, $100. Like, because we had to. So I did. I think I went to Peggy Ann's because they were still open on West Walnut. And I got just, like, a bunch of I didn't even worry about the tax exemption. I was just like, can I get, like, 30 pastries? And went to Franny. She had some vegan muffins. I was like, I want all of your vegan muffins that you have today. I'm so sorry. And she was like, are you kidding? I was like, yeah, you're going to have to make more. Brewed coffee, and it took so long because, like, our coffee brewing system was, I didn't have a coffee tech guy who was helping me out at that point.
Yeah.
Now I do, and it's a game changer. But yeah, so she, like, loaded her car up and took it to the VA. So that was really cool because people could support us, a local business, and keep, like, I would literally post on her story and be like, look, we have to pay rent. Like, we have to pay insurance. I'm still paying off this Airstream. This is an awesome way for you to help us do that and also send it to people who are on the front lines of this thing. And, like, people were dropping like flies. Like, people were dying. And there were people who were taking care of those dying people, and then people who were teaching the kids of those parents and grandparents who had died. Like, so how do we, like, help that? I don't know.
Yeah.
One thing you learn about, like, hospice is that you can't fix the problem. You can't. Like, at the end of the day, they're on hospice because they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you try to find things that make that blow just a little less bad.
Right.
And so at the time, I was like, what do I have to give? I don't have, like, a sermon or, like, a freaking 12-step program to help them through COVID. But I've got these pastries and I've got coffee.
Just, like, a little bit of joy.
Just a little bit. And, like, just so that they know that, like, hey, I don't have a solution to this, but, like, I have this thing and it's a physical thing that I can show you that I'm thinking of you. And I still do that to this day. Like, I had a good friend go through some pretty intense loss over the course of, like, a year. And that friend has money, so, like, she can buy whatever she wants. Like, it's not about that.
It's not about that.
But, like, I would just bring her, like, leftover pastries. Like, I'd be like, here's a box of, like, random
so much
crap.
Joy.
Yeah, because I don't know what else to do, and there is nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So just, like, that's been a really neat thing that's come out of COVID, is, like, just being able to admit that and, like, be okay with that and sit in that discomfort and then show up with a coffee for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it all the time. I mean, probably half the people who come in here, they're buying coffee for someone else because they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, we had one
that's
lady.
That's a really common thing.
It is. And, like, if you think about it, that's, you need comfort. Like, mm-hmm. You need a physical thing for comfort. It's why people get decaf when they can't drink caffeine. They still want
they still
that.
Want it.
When I was pregnant, I was like, oh, decaf, death over decaf. That's so stupid. And then I got pregnant and I was like, I still want, I need that comfort. Like, I'm going to drink a decaf latte and I'm going to be happy about that. It's going to make my day a little better. But yeah, and now today, like, it's RSV season. So we had a friend who, their baby was in the NICU or PICU, whatever. No, it was NICU, because this baby was like less than 2 weeks old, came down with RSV. And her friends were coming in and bringing her coffee from Blue's every day.
And it probably made her feel really just distraught, you know?
It's like, hey, this sucks. I can't fix your kid. I can't fix what you're going through, but I'm here with you in it. And I think that's everything.
It is.
Yeah.
So you get, now that you're in this space, you get more of that like social, like when did the brick and mortar come on your radar? So y'all moved from North Roan to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the name of that street.
It was West Market.
But those were the only two locations. Didn't you go somewhere? Did you go somewhere before that? So you went from North Roan to there.
To West Market, yeah.
Which location did you like better?
I liked West Market better.
Okay.
I did. So it was interesting.
Was there a part of you that missed North Roan though?
Like, no.
Okay.
I didn't. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't love Boone's Creek. It's just, I don't know. It didn't feel like home.
You had more, probably more traffic. Because you had that red light that literally stopped.
It's like the second most busiest red light.
I love that.
Most busiest.
I love that.
It's extremely busy. So our clientele was different. So at the North Roan Street location, people spent more, but there were less people. So it was a lot of soccer moms. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of like higher income families.
Because there's that neighborhood right out there.
Yeah,
there's some really nice neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have nothing against them. They wanted to support local. They're amazing. They still will come in and be like, I just really miss you right next to our house.
But the volume just wasn't there.
The volume was different. So at West Market and here, people spend less per transaction, but they just feel more like my people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, I'll say it. Everyone has a client base that they're trying to attract, and it's okay, like, to say that these are not the clients that you want.
Correct.
I think that's okay.
And that's how, it just felt more like home on West Market. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a lot of walks. There was that bus station that was right down the street, so we got a lot of foot traffic of people who were just like, hey, can I just
really
get a free coffee?
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, we had a pay it forward board that was popping. Like, people, and the way that we did it is people would buy a drink or a pastry for someone else, and we would put a sticky note on the board. So then when you get that foot traffic, they don't have to ask for free stuff.
Because
that is dehumanizing.
Yeah.
For someone to come up and say, can I just get a lemonade, freaking sucks.
Yeah.
And I didn't want anyone to feel that way ever. And so we had this board that was like, just had free stuff all over it. So they would just grab it and it would say like 16-ounce drink. And they would order their coffee like a freaking human being. They would order whatever the hell they wanted instead of just a black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And we would make that for them. So we would start, like, we had a whole community of people who would be like, oh yeah, you want the caramel latte,
cool
extra
idea.
Caramel. Like, it just, it's more than just like giving out free coffee. It was, how do we help restore some humanity to these human beings,
mm-hmm.
who shouldn't have to have that restored to them.
Unfortunate situation.
It could be
anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, you would have someone forget their wallet, and that freaking sucks. We have someone who's already bought your drink.
I forgot my wallet before.
It sucks.
And it's embarrassing.
And it's embarrassing. Or their card declined.
Like, I promise I have money.
Yeah, and it's like, why do you, I hate that people feel the need to say even that, like, I promise I have money. I don't freaking care if you have money or not. Like, that's not my job. Like,
yeah.
I'm not your accountant. I'm not your banker.
It's really embarrassing.
Yeah, and I hate that. So then imagine if you don't have money.
And you have
what
to,
you,
like...
But you're thirsty,
you
or you had a rough night and you didn't sleep because you have nowhere to sleep, so you need coffee to get to this job interview.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we do that with as much, like, respect as possible?
Yeah.
So I miss that about this location, because we don't get a lot of foot traffic, because you have to climb steps or a mile-long ramp to get up
here.
Like, I don't even have the
energy.
Like, I'm not even going to do that. Like, it's not worth it. But, yeah, that clientele, or just, it just felt, or the person who, the nurse who, like, just has 2 seconds to stop in for a cup of coffee on their way to their shift. I just really love that clientele.
Yeah.
So I miss that, but I didn't miss, like, the, I didn't miss the North Roan Street.
The Roan Street vibes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When did the brick and mortar come? When was it like, this is an idea?
Okay, so.
Because you always, brick and mortar was always
panic.
The goal. But when was always it like, okay, this is about to happen?
Yeah, it was forced upon us, to be completely honest with you.
Because of the lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we...
Somebody bought those buildings because they painted
they
them.
They didn't buy it, but okay. They're renting. Okay. So we didn't want... I always said I want to open a brick and mortar before I'm 40. Mm-hmm. I'm still 29 for 2 weeks.
Right.
So
it's amazing.
It wasn't what I wanted to do. I went on maternity leave, so I was gone from February until mid-April. I came back 2 weeks after I'm back. The owner of that property, who I have a lot of respect for, zero bad feelings. They're making a business decision. I think it's so petty when people are like when I left that North Rowan Street, location, it was bad. Like, some bridges were burned.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but respect for people who are like, hey, this is just the best business they thought. I don't agree with that, but it's not my property. So they came to me 2 weeks after I got back from maternity leave, and they were like, hey, so October 10th is your last day in this spot. And I was like, it's May. Like, that's 3 months, but not really 3 months. It felt like 3 months. I was like, we'll figure it out, I guess. The business who moved into the building behind us at the time they believed that those three parking spots we were taking up would do better business for them than having us in their parking lot. Again, I don't agree with that decision. I think partnering with an already established business that has a really cool vibe would have been the better move.
Oh yeah, business to business is huge.
Absolutely, but I'm glad that they didn't think that, because
shows
I wouldn't be
colors,
here.
Huh?
Yeah, and it's okay.
Right,
again,
right.
That was a business decision that they made. I don't agree that it was a smart one, but I don't
it's
do
their
business. Yeah, I've never been in the type of business they're in. I don't know. So we were like, oh my God, okay, well, to run the Airstream, you have to run it 24/7, because that espresso machine, you can't just cut on and off. It can't be in freezing temperatures.
So the Airstream was always on?
Always on, okay. Because we were plugged into a power pole that we had bought from them.
So it's not, the Airstream, this is ignorant to my part, but
it's
not gas, it's electric.
No, so we have a generator, but it would have been ridiculous. That was when gas was like over $5 a gallon.
Okay, so you were running into the building?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. And then just paying that building's like electric bill or whatever.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And we had, when we first moved in there, they had let us make payments over time on that power pole. It was like $2,400 to install that power pole, I think. I could be wrong. But it was a lot of money. It was an investment.
Yeah.
We had already paid for one at the North Rowan Street location. And then we had just paid for one at this location. And so we were like, we really don't want to have to do that all over again, especially when, like, we just felt like we had gotten burnt twice. We had gotten kicked out of spots twice. Not really. We left the first spot, but that's how it felt. And so we don't want to do that again. And we don't want to be truly mobile because, again, the espresso machine, we can't do that. So we spent, like, 2 months. It came down to the wire. It came down to where we had like 6 weeks to leave, and we had nowhere to go. We tried to purchase two different buildings. The first one, someone came in with an offer literally 5 minutes after us, cash offered. They didn't even counter offer our offer, so we lost that building. Another building we looked at, we had it under contract. We paid the $5,000, like we were money down on it. And the bank told us no, even though they had been telling us yes. We got pre-approved. We
got
pre-approved. It got all the way down to lending, and they told us no.
That's a long process. It could be like 60 days,
yeah,
90 days.
Exactly. Yeah. It was 90 days.
It eats up a lot.
So we were already hurrying. So that fell through, and we were pretty devastated about that. And then we had no idea. We didn't have plans. And Jonathan kept being like, oh, it'll work out. And I was like, okay, well, I have six people on payroll.
Like,
This isn't just going to work out. Like, you got to make this shit happen.
Yeah.
And we had to. And then it was kind of right, though, because we freaking got a text from our realtor. And she was like, hey, so this location, it's move-in ready. You want it? And we were like, I don't know. It's kind of small. We weren't really thinking about downtown.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And we came in and looked at it, and we were like, we're gonna take
this
it.
Could be
like,
it.
The rent is good. It's only a 3-year lease instead of a 5 or one. Like, we wanted 3-year.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, they need to get out of it now, like, blah, blah, blah. And so we just made it happen. So that's it happened out of necessity. It wasn't like the ideal scenario. I wanted to stay in that spot for a while longer and save up money, do it the right way. Like I'm a 19-step process type of person, and that's not how it happened at all. And it was really stressful to do all of that with a newborn.
For sure.
And like I had never had a kid before. Postpartum hit me hard. I had a lot of complications postpartum and a lot of mental health stuff postpartum that just nobody told me
was
going to happen. Yeah. And I was totally blindsided by it. Literally, like, that postpartum is a whole...
Rachel works with a lot of postpartum. Yeah, she does. And yeah, I mean, she's, you know, whenever she was going through the certification, she was like, there's just so much that, like, isn't talked
about. Nobody tells you. It's because you have to say the word vagina and people are scared of that word. I was talking to Caroline Dowdy and she was in Brie and they were talking about kids and stuff, and and I was like new, freshly postpartum. I was only like 3 months postpartum. And she was like, well, I just feel like even now, like, you're telling me all these problems and you're being vague. Like, you're not telling me specifics. And I was like, because I have to say the word vagina to you. I don't want to say that to you. I was like, when you're ready to have a kid, we can talk about that. But, like, that's why. And so I get it. Like, yeah, so, like, that's why. I understand it now. But I'm like, screw that. If people want to know, I'll tell them, like, Kayla, she wants to get pregnant, like, immediately. And so I told her, I was like, when you're ready, come to me. And, like, I'll tell you everything you didn't want to know.
That way it's not a shock.
Exactly, because that was the hardest part for me. I felt like people had... let me down by not telling me.
You just see the good on the ground.
And my mom, I even told my mom, I was like, why didn't you warn me about this? Like, you're my mother. We talk about everything. And she was like, honestly, Sarah, I didn't have any of those problems. Honestly. And I was like, well, you didn't have this. She was like, well, no, I had that. And I was like, what the fuck? You didn't tell me anything. I knew nothing. I thought pregnancy was the hardest part, and labor. I was like super over researched for pregnancy and labor. Zero research on postpartum.
Yeah.
And like Tosh, thank God for Tosh, because I was like, I remember texting her. I think I called her one night and was like, I'm about to divorce John. I swear to God. Like, I'm not, I wasn't, it wasn't a joke. It was not, it was a code red. I'm leaving. Like, I'm done. And she said, can you just give it a couple more weeks? She was like, that is totally valid. What he did was stupid. She like validated me. She was like, yeah, that's stupid. But also, I wanted to divorce Adam like 80 times postpartum. She was like, can you just give it a couple more weeks? And I was like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I went 3 days without speaking a word to him. Not a word. We were keeping an infant alive and I didn't speak a word. Literally, I was just like, I remember I have this vivid memory rocking in a rocking chair, nursing her and just staring. And like I'm sure I looked like something out of a horror film. And then like in my head I was like, fuck this marriage, fuck this guy. And never felt that towards her. I've never felt that towards my kid, thankfully, because people do. Mm-hmm. I didn't. But towards him, I was like, I'm
just
done.
Mad,
but I gave it a few more weeks and sure enough, like, it does
funny?
Get better.
It's funny you say that about the kid. I've heard a lot of people talk about kids and they're like, whenever you get married, it's like a new love that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But they said nothing compares to whenever you first see your child. They're like, you think, it's a weird thing to say, but they say you think you know what love is because of your spouse, but you don't really know what love is until you see your
kid. I actually got post removed from Instagram because I accidentally said this on Instagram. I would kill him for her in a heartbeat, and he would kill me for her in a heartbeat. Absolute, like zero hesitation. If someone was like, hey, you can keep this kid, she can have a beautiful life, but you have to take a knife to your husband's neck. I'd be like, give
Jonathan's
me the knife.
Done. Yeah.
He's done.
Yeah.
And he'd do the same to me. Like, it's weird. Like,
yeah, I've heard
the
that.
Instincts, especially as a mom, like, who has physically carried a child, and then seeing that kid, like, mm-hmm. here in the flesh, it's like, it does some wild things to you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We went to Aruba for a week, and I had a physical reaction to leaving her.
She didn't go.
She didn't go. I had 3 panic attacks before I even dropped her off. And then when we dropped her off, we had to drive to Asheville. The whole way to Asheville, I was chanting, she's okay. She's okay. Because my body was just
before
like.
Before then, had y'all done like a night?
We had done one night in Atlanta for a concert. But we were not in our right mind that whole night. So I don't even count that.
Right.
Like, I barely remember anything because of that reason.
You're like, I just need to numb myself real quick.
Yeah, so we stayed out till 4 a.m. And then we, like, turned around and left at 10 a.m. So, like, I don't even count that.
Yeah.
But this was, it ended up being great. It was amazing. I recommend everyone to do that, especially when your kid's like 6 to 9 months mm-hmm. old, because they don't have that attachment yet. From 9 to 12 is when they form that like panic so that their parents are gone.
Get your vacation in.
Yeah, so we like went right at 9 months.
Reconnect with each other.
Yeah. It was... It was crazy, the physical. I'll never forget that like visceral reaction to leaving.
What happens to people whenever they leave them at school too? Like,
yeah,
because some people don't.
Yeah.
That's the first time that they.
I can't imagine that. Because we dropped her off since she was 12 weeks old. He went back to work and he dropped her off at his parents. And I have a text I say from that too, because he was like, the package is delivered. And then we both cried. We both were like, oh, is she gonna be okay?
Yeah.
Like, of course she's gonna be okay, but like, you still have a reaction to
it.
It's wild.
It's
crazy.
We don't have kids, but I've talked to a lot of people, and we have friends that just had a baby, and you know, just hearing them talk about it, it's different.
It's
a new kind of responsibility and love.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting. I think that some of the best ideas that I've had, some of the best circumstances that I've put myself in, or however you say that, is like whenever I'm feeling pressure.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, like all these things that have
so
happened
annoying.
Has been like, I've been extremely stressed. It's like a bottleneck. And then it's like, I feel like everything's closing in, and then it's like light.
Yeah.
It's like
I agree
wide
with
open.
That. I don't know what that is. Is that like just being a business owner, or like, why? Why does it have to be that way?
I don't know. Because I am very, like, planned out.
Me too.
And it's like, all of a sudden, just, like, shit starts hitting the fan. You're like, oh, shit. And then you're like, oh, well, here we are.
Okay, here we are. It's so annoying. I was just telling one of my baristas last night. He was like, he's so fun to work with, because he'll just ask questions all the time, and, like, he just likes to talk. And so he was like, if you had one piece of advice for me, what would it be? And he's either a junior or senior in college. And I was like, he was like, you want me to calm down, don't you? Like, I take things too seriously. And I was like, well, yes, but that's not what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I was like, I would tell you that there's no way to win life. Like, there's no, because evangelicalism tells you that there's a way to win life. Like, you can win life. You can have this life. You can win your salvation. You can earn it, is what I believed. And then you go to heaven, and that's your trophy. I was like, I don't believe in that. Like, there's no way to win life, so just take that pressure off of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right decision that has to be the perfect decision. And I was like, the reason for that is you can make a wrong decision and then fix it. Like, that's pretty much what life is.
Yeah,
so
you
like,
have to make wrong decisions.
Yeah, and so I think that's where that, like, bottleneck pressure comes from, is that we are so stressed out about making the decision.
Being perfect.
Being perfect, freaking perfectionism. And, like, it has to be this decision that's going to lead us to the trophy in life. And it's like, that's just not how life works.
No.
Like, sometimes you just have to make a decision to make a decision.
The trophy is life.
Exactly. Like, it just is. Yeah. It is what it is. And sometimes you have to make that decision, and you learn that that was the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking okay. Like,
right.
You can fix it.
And
you
those
know?
And those to me, like, that's it. You know, because it's like, when you look back 5 years from now, you know, it's like the stress of moving into here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now you look back, you can look back at North Rome Street and see
yeah.
like beautiful moments in that. And it's like,
absolutely.
Those are the trophies along
yeah,
the way.
Exactly.
It's like that thing, like, I think I've been thinking about this a lot lately, is like the process. Like, people always say the process. It's like, yeah, it is. Because even for you, it's like Rome Street to the corner to now, it's like everything, like what you have today, the joy that you have today is a culmination of all these experiences.
Absolutely.
Like seeing your friend come in that you worked with.
Yeah.
Like those, it's like, that's
yeah,
the process.
Absolutely.
And it's like, yeah, you do have to love the process.
And you have to pay attention to those moments when they come too, mm-hmm. or else
you'll
what is
them.
The point of anything? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, even you pointing that out, I was like, yeah, that is a cool moment. I didn't even think, like, her and I have been through some shit too. Like, we had a huge falling out and didn't talk to each other for like 18 months.
Yeah.
Like, bad. And now it's like she comes in here and is like, wow, this place is amazing. It's like she's proud of me.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm proud of her. And like, we're just, yeah, there's lots of little moments like
there,
that.
There are.
That are important.
And it's crazy because I have been, I guess, like, getting mad.
She's tired.
I've been just like reflecting more and more. As I age, I try to like reflect back on things. So we get into this space. How long did it take to build this out? Because this is.
We're psycho. so cute. Those pants. We're crazy. It's crazy we even did this. So we had to be out of our spot. It was so fast.
Okay.
We signed a lease for October. So we had the keys October. Let's see. That girl who just came in, I also did their wedding.
Okay.
I'm married. Daniel. It's Daniel's wife.
Yeah, yeah,
I did
Daniel.
Their wedding.
Yeah.
Okay. So they were getting married the 8th, I think. Oh, God. I hope I didn't get that wrong. The second weekend in October. We got the keys that Monday. So then we opened 2 weeks after that. We did what we called a soft launch. And I'll never forget my baristas looking at me during that soft launch, that first day we were open, and they go, this is not a soft launch. Like, people were out the door waiting for coffee, and we were so slow. We had no idea what we were doing. We had no processes in place. We had this whole food menu that none of us, including me, had ever made. We were just like, I hope this works out.
Did
we're
you
gonna
go
put
full
on
menu,
menu
at that soft
yeah,
launch?
Yeah, like okay. Idiots. We did. We sure did. Because we had to make money. We were like, we had to pay rent in
right.
October.
We got
to like,
get as much as we can.
Yeah. And so bless their hearts, these customers waited like 25 minutes for like a drink and a muffin. Like, and they were happy to do it. They were just there. We had a little sign that said, thank you for having grace with us during our soft launch.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were like, we don't know. Yeah. I wanted to be like, we have no idea what the hell we're doing. Please don't, please come back in a month because
yeah,
we don't know what we're doing.
Iron out the kink.
And people have, so it's been
what,
great.
What was it with, you said something about a coffee tech. So what
yeah.
is it that, change because I did notice the like if I think back to North Rhone Street and the speed of that I've never thought about this until you mentioned that but the speed of me getting my espresso there and to now was
here.
Like it was
yeah it didn't have anything to do with coffee tech actually it has to do with my staff mm-hmm. I have this incredible team now so there we had one person working all
they had
the
to
time.
Do everything
they
were
do
doing
everything.
Online
take orders,
orders doing,
online orders
yeah.
make the drink get it out the window and we were really slow but we couldn't afford to have two people in there.
Yeah.
Payroll is our number one expense, and
always.
It should be. I mean,
yeah.
it should be. Like,
every
that's
business.
What's the point of having a business if you're not going to pay mm-hmm. people? It's literally the whole point to me,
yeah.
Is to have employment. But so that's what's changed is I have this incredible staff of like 11 people that are just good at what they do, and they're happy to do it, and they're really energetic, and we've created systems of like, okay. This person's gonna take orders and prep the drink. You're gonna pull shots and steam the milk. And then when you are in between orders, when they're finishing up, you're gonna go put the food in. So we have a system now. We didn't have that at all.
Yeah.
And now
which,
we're-
Which is cool too, to look at, because you've built a system.
Yeah,
you know?
I've never had, yeah. And that's
so now
my,
when
well,
you
that's
train
my favorite
people.
Thing. Exactly, and we're actually having a staff meeting or a management meeting this afternoon to talk more about that, how to get better at that.
Yes.
And part of it is I'm gonna talk to them about like, hey, some of this is just part of management and it's gonna always feel like someone's not doing something right. And like, I just want you to like rest in that because that's
always.
Literally the job. Like that just
is
what
it,
it is. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to get better. Like we can keep trying to tweak systems and like we're implementing a new training system, which to be honest, I had already implemented, but nobody was following. And so now this management meeting is
full.
Like, hey, we already have this list here. We already have these. You just have to initiate
it.
You have to
yeah.
do it. Yeah. Like, I've already done that hard work. Like, that's what I'm good at. I'm good at coming into chaos and making a system
yes.
and, like, making things efficient. I'm not as good at, like, communicating that to people and having follow through. So that's what this meeting is about. It's like, that's my manager's
yeah.
jobs. Is so I'm going to tell them, like, I've already done this. You just have to come up with a way to like communicate it and make sure people are doing it.
Yeah.
But
I love that because I feel like I'm one of my strengths is like creating systems.
Mm.
It's something that we did when we took
I
over the
it.
Business. There were zero systems
mm.
and I mean we have
how do
so
people function like that? I come in all the time. I told Kayla the other day, I was like, does it ever blow your mind that people don't just consolidate things? And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I see a drawer and I'm like, why are there 18 open edible glitters? Can I consolidate
right.
this and throw them away? And then how do I keep that from happening again? Oh, I'm going to put it on a checklist. Like,
yeah.
how do people survive without
yeah.
those systems? Like,
it's crazy.
I
thing that I like about the meeting that you're going to have, systems and how you say you continue to make things better is I had a staff meeting and I told them that everything can be done better.
Mm.
Like everything can be improved on. But you don't want to just change things just to change things.
Exactly.
And I told them that, like, you know, like, present your idea and then we'll see, you know, if it works.
But there are no bad ideas, just unused ones.
That's it. That's it. 100%. But I believe that because, you know, I think I used to think differently and I would say something was a bad idea. Mm. But it's like, well, let me just figure out their perspective on this.
Yeah, why are they wanting to change that?
Yeah, and I think that, so I think of ideas and opinions as being separate. Mm. So I think that ideas are always coming from a place of a construction, mm-hmm. and opinions are not always coming from a place of
Absolutely.
Construction.
They just are sometimes.
They just are, yeah. So I love that. You can just always be better at something.
Yeah, I say I have that exact same thought when I'm training people, especially when I'm training people on how to train people, is I'll say you have to figure out what is truly a better way to do things and what is something that you just do a certain way that you care about. That's okay to have. Like, there are certain ways that I don't know, clean something that, like, at the end of the day, I don't care that when I'm training people, I'll say, this is how I do it. If you find a better way to do it, do that. Mm-hmm. But there are some things that I'm like, this is how I do it, and it's how it needs to be done, and here's why. Because if you don't explain that why, then they just think you're hounding them and just like being a tyrant. But it's like, here's why I do it this way, and I need you to do it this way. But these other things, wiping down counters, if you want to do it this way, I don't care. But when I come in the morning, it better look like I did it.
Yes.
You know, like
100%.
There are certain things that you can just like. So I try to tell my managers, like, what do you just care about because that's how you like to do it, and what actually needs to be addressed, and what do you need to text people
that's
over or message people over? It's hard. That was my hardest thing when I was an assistant manager.
It's like
I did
ego,
the training
in a way.
Yeah, and well, and as a one, I really truly thought like the way that I do things is the best way
it's
to do
way.
It, and that's just not true. And so I had to learn that as an assistant manager training people, because I'd be like, why are they not getting this? Why are they not just freaking doing it this way? And then I'd realize, well, because there's not a reason I do it that way. I just do it that way because that's how I like to do it, and that's okay. And that took me a long time to learn. Like, and so I try to be patient.
What's interesting about that is, like, I have people on the staff now that do things better than I do them.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that
cool?
It's
wild. Like, there's this guy, Adam, that works for me, and there's certain things that he does, and, like, I could not do them as good as he could do them.
Yeah.
And it's wild to see that. So he's taken my process of certain things and just made it just, I mean, it's like next level.
And to me, that's the point. That's literally the whole point of owning a business, is like having people who are that assistant manager. Like, I was that assistant manager for someone. So having someone who is that to me and who ends up being better than me, like, I have a coffee educator now. She steams milk better than I ever will.
Yes.
Ever will. And I'm okay with that. I've won awards for being a barista. She should have those awards. Like, she's better at it than me.
Yeah.
And that is so cool, because it's like, how did that happen? Or someone will have an idea, like this drink. I never would have put blueberry almond in latte. Never, ever would I have done that.
Yeah.
I started drinking and was like, oh, we need to put this on our spring menu. Like, this is really good.
Just experimenting.
Yeah,
with
our
different
seasonal menus are 100% my staff. I never create anything on there. I'm like, hey, I sent out a text a couple weeks before the menu drops. I'm like, hey, it's open season for drink suggestions, and I'll just get idea after idea. And it's like, yeah, I never would have done that. And then they'll be our best sellers.
So do they, with those ideas, are they just coming in here and like trying different
things?
They're
just having fun. Or they see something online and they're like, ooh, we could do something similar, and they'll do it. Like the Krampus on our menu right now is our number one seller. That was Grayson. That was my bar manager. He was like, I said, hey, will you make me a drink? I don't know what I want. Like, I just want something warm. And he made me a dirty chai with oat milk and cinnamon and vanilla. And I was like, oh my God, this tastes like Christmas in a cup. We're putting this on our menu. It's our number one seller.
It's on there, yeah.
Yeah, the Hermione on our fall menu, people went freaking nuts over. That was my little sister. And she didn't even live here. She lives in Birmingham, and she's part of the group chat still because she used to work for me. And
so
she was like, yeah.
So it's cool about this, like hearing you talk about it, is like the people that, I guess for the most part, that apply to be a barista at a coffee shop, it's, they love coffee for the most part versus like...
LJ was not a coffee drinker.
Okay.
And she's the one who made this drink.
So she just like applied.
She loves it now.
Yeah.
So there's,
So there's still people that apply. It's just
about
a job.
I don't know if this would... This probably happens a little bit in the fitness world, but most people who apply here, it's because it's cute and like people it's just a cute idea to be a barista. Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, a coffee shop job would be so fun.
But they don't realize, like, you actually gotta work.
But the problem is that most of, they're right. Like, being a barista really is like that.
It's hard.
There, it really is Graham worthy, and like, you will love your job. But I tell people when they're applying and when I'm about to offer them the job, I say it's 10% that and 90% cleaning.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
I bet.
You clean so much all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All the time you're cleaning stuff. Like, I'm always breaking down boxes or cleaning up syrup or wiping a table or doing dishes. Like, there's always something to do.
Yeah.
So like, but the crazy part is that 10% of like, oh, it's a cute coffee shop job is enough to get you through the 90%.
Right. Because you enjoy that so much.
You love it so much that you end up being like, oh, I like cleaning because it makes me better barista. And
that's
like,
the same in fitness.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because you just, it's the glam of like being a personal trainer, mm-hmm. like being around workout.
That sounds like cool.
So
yeah.
Much to it besides that.
I mean,
especially like
really,
a gym owner.
That's true, like, for like working out too.
Yeah.
Like, there's 10% of that, like, oh, I feel like a badass. And 90% is like, I don't want to be here. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
I hurt. I'm tired. Especially after having a kid. Like,
it's a struggle to get back into it.
Oh, poor Joe. He programs me, like, just 4 days a week. And, like, the past 2 months, I've made it twice a week.
Because but that's okay. Yeah, you gotta do what your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, it's interesting. You can apply that to so many things.
So many. Because people probably, you're like, oh, like, you own a coffee shop. It's all glitz
so
and glam.
Cool.
And it's like, well,
it's like,
it is, but there's a
it's
lot.
It's mostly stressing about money and
making
dealing.
Sure the staff is good. And,
oh, yeah. It's a lot of, my employees are the best and the hardest thing about this job. 100%.
Just managing people in general.
I love it, and I freaking hate it. I say so many times, I say it all the time to myself. People are so freaking stupid. And I mean that about myself too. Like, I'll do something and be like, I am so stupid.
So
that was stupid.
Yeah.
And it's just true. Like, that's most of what management is. It's just being like, why would they do that?
That way.
Interesting. Yeah. We're going to fix that.
Where did that
kinda
come from?
Stupid.
That's one that I'm always like, where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Interesting. Yeah.
So when did y'all start? Whenever you opened, did you have the idea for the beers?
So, honestly, the way that started is we did a break-even analysis, and we were like, how are we going to come up with more money than what we're already making? And Jonathan was like, hey, so have you seen profit margins on beer? And I was like, no, I don't drink beer. I mean, I actually got into beer a little bit because I was breastfeeding at the time, and my supply dropped, and I heard that if you drink a stout, that it makes your supply increase. Mm-hmm. So I tried everything, and one of those
did
was drinking stouts. No. Well, it didn't work for me. It might work for some people. It didn't work for me because I had an underlying thyroid. I had postpartum thyroiditis, one of my many complications, and I didn't know, and that, like, your poor body. Like, I was hyperthyroid, so I, like, I lost 20 pounds in, like, 4 weeks.
Wow.
It was crazy. So your body just can't. Yeah, I needed more than a beer, and I didn't know. It was unmedicated, untreated, undiagnosed. Nobody knew what to do with me once it was diagnosed. It's crazy. So that's how I got into beer. And John was like, have you seen the profit margin? I was like, why would I? No. I don't care about beer. And he was like, well, I think we're going to need those beer sales if we want any sort of brick and mortar. So that's why it started. But what's been really cool is that for some reason, I don't know why, maybe some business person listening can tell me why, our coffee started and food have done so well that the beer has just been the like cherry on top.
Okay.
So that's how it started. It was like, we got to find a way to make more money. Well, what do we like to do? We like to drink coffee and we like to hang out. We hung out at Atlantic Ale. We hang out there all the time. That's what people want. Like, that's what our generation wants. They want a craft beer. That's how it started. And it ended up just being like an extra fun thing that we also do. We also really miss the Willow Tree. So bad.
They did like music and stuff there.
They did music. They tried to do beer, but I don't think that they were able to do it in a way that was like sustainable and like really took off.
Was it difficult to do your like alcohol?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I've heard that's like a whole thing.
It was annoying, but we were just hella persistent. And I had opened a business before in the city, so I knew going into it, this is going to be very stressful and really annoying.
Yeah.
Jonathan had never done it. I mean, he watched me do it, but it's different.
Yeah,
it's different than doing it. And so when he like did most of that work, he would come home and be like, it's so stupid that they required it. And I was like,
yeah.
I agree with you, but you're wasting your energy being mad. Who cares? Like, I agree. It is incorrect. It's a stupid system. They're just trying to make money. We're just going to check off their list, though, because the end result is going to be a permit. All we want to do is get a permit. I agree that this rule is stupid. We still have to follow it. So, like, you can vent about it, but it's pointless
it's
to
solving the problem.
Yeah, it's not going to get us to the permit. So there was a lot of that, of, like, him texting me and be like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, correct. That is stupid. Moving on.
Like, it's a good idea for you all because, like, you're already in, like a drink industry. And it's like, I don't know. Again, this is another thing from ignorance. But it's like, if I was to think off the top of my head, it's like from... What time do you open? 6, 7?
7, yeah.
So like 7 to like 4 or 5 people drink coffee, and then like some coffee shops close, or like they stay open, but their traffic decreases probably by like
70%. And you're wasting 70%. So much money on payroll, electricity, like everything.
So now you can get that wave from 4 to however
late
you stay
open.
And it's
fun too. People want to do. And I was having a bad day and I was like running around trying to do a bunch of stuff, and this woman who's a regular was sitting at this table, and she saw me, like I was obviously busy, and she just like interrupts me and she's like, so what made you want to serve beer? And like when people ask that way, it's because they don't agree with us serving alcohol.
Right.
They like, it was really interesting opening up in East Tennessee, alcohol. And so I just looked at her and I go, money. And she was like, I was like, this is a business. This isn't a nonprofit. Like, I know that sounds harsh. Like, especially like if I were to hear myself talk from 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh my God, she's a greedy bitch. No, it's just, this is a business. Yeah. And like, I looked at drinks and it was like, what do I want to drink? What do I spend money on? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be coffee and alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's cool. Like, why do we fight that? Why do we like... I don't know. It's not a bad thing to want to make money. Like, I want to make money so that I can employ people.
I'm very straightforward. So I tell the staff, whenever I hire somebody on or at staff meetings, if we're talking about financials, I say the only reason to own a business is to create profit, create careers, and purchase assets.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And I was like, there's a lot of love of things in there, but I was like, and loving it helps, but at the end of the day,
it keeps you going. And
if we don't make a profit, then I was like,
it sucks the love out of it.
I was like, you look at these people. I actually told the staff this. Said, you look at these people that just start a business because they just say like, oh, I don't care about the money, I'm just passionate. Well, honestly, if they don't care about the money, they're gonna fail.
It's like, not gonna work.
You have to be.
And then
profitable.
Those people who you've employed who love their job, they're gonna be out of the job.
Yeah.
What is the point if you can't keep a staff? To me. What is the point? So, like, it has to be both. It has to be.
The more profitable is the more fun you're going to
be. It's the more people you can hire. It's the more parties you can throw. It's 100%. The more live music you can have. It's the more beer you can have. It's the more wine you can have stocked up. Like, what is the point if, I love it. Absolutely. I couldn't keep doing this if I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it's a grind.
Yeah, but there have been seasons where I've had conversations and been like, we can't, if we keep going this way, you can't keep doing what
Someone's
you love.
Change.
Yeah, like you have to let someone, you have to let your payroll go, or you have to like, you have to pivot and do something
Figure
else.
Something
and
out.
So with the beer, we were trying to prevent that from happening. Mm-hmm. We were trying to get ahead of that. And it's just been fun. Like, it's just so funny to me. I don't know if you saw the WJHL post about us opening.
I don't think so.
When you're in the mood to laugh, go look at those comments on Facebook.
People like mad about the alcohol.
Oh my God, yes. Perfect. Just what we need. More drunks. And I was like, when I go drink
people
at
are
a
very,
craft.
Is that only Facebook? People are so hateful.
But it's like,
on
it's a craft. It's a tap room. Like, we're not doing Tipton's. And even if we were doing Tipton's, who cares? Like, it's okay. Like, you can, I don't know. It's just people were very upset about us.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect that.
I didn't
think that was going to happen.
That are usually more upset with themselves than...
Yeah, it's like, what happened in your family? Like, you're carrying that into my business. That's not...
Hate.
Yeah, that's... Like, I have alcoholics in my family. Like, that's not the public's fault. Like, I'm not going to be mad at a small business owner for trying to survive because there's alcoholism in my family.
Right.
Like, That's just, that's not supportive of anyone.
It's like somebody being mad at like a donut shop opening and be like, the obesity.
How dare they? And then it's like, well, I have a tendency to gain weight, so I'm mad that they opened near my house.
Right.
It's nothing to do with you. Yeah, exactly. You got to take responsibility for that.
So y'all do wine now too?
Mm-hmm.
Was that, did you have to do another licensing thing for wine? Really?
Yeah, it's called a liquor by the drink permit. So we still can't serve like stuff over a certain, wait, how does this work? Jonathan would be better one
certain
to ask.
Certain size or certain?
Certain alcohol content.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you can do like champagne, well, I guess.
We do champagne.
Okay.
So we had to get that special permit to do champagne, but we still can't do like liquor.
Okay.
So it's kind of confusing. So we can
I knew that liquor was separate because there's like restaurants that open all the time. And
right.
It's like, oh, we don't have a liquor license, but you can order, mm-hmm. you can get beer.
Yeah, and I think one day we might do that, but not, it'll be, I say this about everything and then it ends up happening.
Happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
You're gonna text
it'll
me
be
and
a
be like,
long
Joe.
Time. By the way, we're serving rum. No, I think, yeah, it'd just be fun. But yeah so we have, we are working on our reds menu. We don't have a ton of reds right now because it's a long story. Basically, our distributor got sick and we were supposed to meet with her this week to go over reds because we only got through the whites last week.
Okay.
Which was crazy.
That's a lot.
Oh my gosh, she brought that whole table over there was filled with full size bottles of wine. So I was like, people are getting wine for Christmas. They're getting half opened bottles of wine for Christmas because it was incredible. So we were going to do that with reds, but she got sick. So we've got champagne, Chardonnay. We do have a few reds. But our biggest seller right now have been the mimosa flights, which they have on that little table. That's what those look like.
That's cool. Those
it's been so fun. Yeah. It's
what's
been fun.
What's the 5 p.m.? What time do y'all close on weekends?
We don't close till 11.
Okay, so what's your 5 to 11 traffic like, 5 p.m.?
It's hit or miss right now. Like last two nights ago, so what was that, Wednesday night? Mm-hmm. I was in here. We had like a, it's really cool. We've started having like date nights here because we can come in and my staff has it and we can just chill. Which has been really fun. So we did that Wednesday night and we came in and there was only like one other couple here. And then I went in the back to do something and I was talking to my bar manager and he was talking to me about this fridge that we're setting up and he looks over my shoulder and he goes, why are there so many people here? And I turned around and there's like this huge crowd and I was like, I don't know, it's Wednesday night. It was like Wednesday at 8:30. Like, so it's hit or miss, but we're hoping, that's what I was gonna say about the Willow Tree gap. I feel like when Willow Tree wasn't able to make it, it left this gap of people who love to sit at coffee shops
in a
at night.
And
So we're hoping to build on that. And like people have been saying they want a late night cafe for years now. So prove it.
Right.
Like
we're here.
If you want this, here we are. And so far people have proven it, but I think it'll be better during the semester because we had a lot of like med students especially come in and just post up shop and go at it till 10 p.m.
Have you been to the Underground in Greenville?
No.
So it's kind of, I think it's kind of like that. It's like an underground coffee.
Oh, cool.
And it's literally like you walk downstairs, you're underground.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a darker vibe.
Yeah, we turn these lights off at night.
Okay.
So
they do coffee
lights
during the day, and then at nighttime, it's like a speakeasy. Like
that's
they have like
cool
couches and
we
all these different
speakeasies
things.
We love speakeasies. That's
really
cool.
If you're ever in Greenville, cool. I guess it's South Carolina.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really
awesome
cool place.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Because whenever Rachel told me you were doing alcohol, I was like, that reminds me of that
place.
Yeah,
Jonathan's like favorite thing ever are speakeasies. And we wanted to get this like tufted couch, like this like highbrow looking like fancy couch. Those things are so expensive.
Oh,
we ended
bad
up getting a free one from my dad. But like that was the original vibe and plan.
About to get this couch.
Yeah. So now we're getting closer. Like these overhead lights, we turn off when the sun goes down, and so you just have the twinkle lights and these like yellow lights, and then our big Love Local, Drink Local sign is lit, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely a different vibe at night, but we're trying to build on that and like do better job of advertising that, because I think that was a gap.
Yeah, just build it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
So people want that, and so we're trying to let people know we're here.
And it's a little more like chill than like a Tipton.
Yeah, it's a really good pre-gaming spot or a like, hey, I just want to meet with this friend who I haven't met with for a while, and I want a quiet, safe space to do that.
Right.
Like that's kind of what we're trying to do.
100%.
But yeah,
very cool.
Yeah.
I guess that gets us to today, so we're at the end of the story for now.
Yeah.
We'll have to come back soon.
For now.
For now.
Dot, dot, dot.
Until you get your liquor license.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm going to take a video. Of
it. Yeah. Go for it.
Who's your longest employee as of now?
Megan, the coffee educator I told you about. She is in grad school now. She's doing the same program that I did, which is kind of fun. She works at a local church. She's a student minister there. And she's extremely busy, right? So she has that pretty much almost full-time job. Plus she's in school full-time. So she can only keep like one shift a week.
Okay.
She's the only employee I'll ever do that for.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't care. You can give me 3 hours
she's
a week. I'm
going to
keep you
she's
on payroll. I love her. Yeah. But she has like taken this coffee education thing very seriously and has sent out like a 2-page document to my staff. Like, here are some basic coffee things.
That's
like, she
awesome.
Loves it. Yeah. She actually painted our mural in that back bathroom. She painted
okay.
that. It was one of her life. It's like on her bucket list to paint it, to be a muralist. And so I was like, we can fulfill that.
Right here.
Yeah, she only charged me $150.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
that's really good.
Yeah.
Do you have any full-time employees?
No, but these two are really close. And then her boyfriend, Grayson, is our bar manager. He's also really close.
Okay.
I don't have full-time technically, because then it gets into benefits and like a bunch
right.
of crazy stuff. Plus, these people do not need to be working full. They're in school.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
it stresses me out already
yeah,
that they're like,
school, yeah.
if they cross like 35 hours, I'm like, please.
Are they gonna make
please?
It?
Please, yeah. Like, are you okay?
It's like if they like fail a class, it's on you.
Yeah, and the worst part is they'll be like, yeah, no, I'm fine, and I'm like,
yeah, they don't want to tell
you're
you.
You're in a manic state.
Yeah, they don't like, want to tell you.
You need to calm down, because I was that person, so like I get it.
You just
like,
don't want to say no.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. and
Let
you really don't
down.
Want to say no. You want to keep saying yes, and you will keep saying yes until you're. You're sick.
Yes.
Like, you'll make yourself sick.
100%.
So we talk about that a lot.
Well, very
but,
cool. I love it here.
Yeah, thanks. Me too, most days.
I don't have, like, an intro or outro, so we're done.
Okay, cool. Bye. See you later. You need an intro outro.
I know,
you need a song.
That's what Abby said. Abby was like, you need to get a song. And I was like, I don't know what to do for it.
Yeah, there are some... Do you ever listen to the first podcast?